Good morning, everyone. You're listening to the World Teacher Program for Share International New Zealand on Planet FM 104.6. Each Friday morning, we bring you information from the teachers of the Ageless Wisdom. The purpose of our program is to introduce Maitreya, the world teacher for the Age of Aquarius. Maitreya does not come alone. He brings with him the Masters of Wisdom, a group of highly evolved teachers who work in many fields and teach us the art of living, how to work in right relationship with each other. With their inspiration, we can transform our civilization, creating justice and peace, and use the technological advances available to us. Approximately every 2,500 years, a new teacher brings a body of teaching to humanity that is suited to our needs at that particular time. Usually this takes place at the end of an age. Right now, as the age of Pisces declines and our solar system aligns with the constellation Aquarius, new energies are beginning to make themselves felt. As these Aquarian energies of sharing and justice stream into our planet, the need for change can be seen more clearly. A period of chaos ensues as the old order lessens its grip on humanity, and the impulse of sharing, justice and peace inspires us to move forward in evolution as a united group.
Good morning, everyone, and thank you for listening into our program. Today is going to be a somewhat child-centred theme. We're going to have an interview about UK children in prisons and an article discussing giving children the right to vote in political elections. With children worldwide raising their voices and demanding action from those in power to halt detrimental activities producing climate change and demanding a fairer and just society, whether they are striking from regular school activities or facing up to brutal policing and regimes, it is long past time that adults open their ears to the thoughts of the world's children. These articles were published in the May issue of Share International magazine.
Firstly, we have an excerpt from an article about Free the Children, the Pursuit to Abolish Child Imprisonment. It's an interview with Dr. David Scott, and it's by Shireen Abdel Hadi Tales. Share International asked the question, when you talk about children, what age groups are you referring to in the United Kingdom? And David Scott answers, currently the age of criminal responsibility in England, Wales and Northern Ireland is 10 years old. In Scotland, the official age is 8 years old, one of the lowest in the world. But in practice, they deal with people from 12 years onward. Scotland is planning to raise the official age. Now, of course, when you start looking at these issues, it gets a little bit ridiculous. You look at the fact that children are not allowed to have consenting sex. They are not allowed to buy alcohol. They are not even allowed to buy a pet when they are 10. So somewhere in the law is this notion that children are actually not the most responsible of individuals, that they are still developing, they are still learning, and they make mistakes. Ideally, the age of criminal responsibility should be 18. So, in effect, if you increase the age starting at 14 and then 16, you are, in fact, abolishing it for a particular age group, and then you have a reduction of children in prisons.
The next question was, are child prison sentences a problem particular to the United Kingdom? The answer from David Scott is, yes, we have an extraordinary number of child life sentences in England and Wales. There were 197 child life sentences between 2006 and 16. In English common law, there is also what's known as the joint enterprise law. This law means that a group of children get prosecuted because they know about a crime but didn't do anything to stop it. So there are an extraordinarily large number of children, literally hundreds in recent times, who have been incarcerated on child life sentences, but they have actually done nothing illegal at all. They have simply known a person who has perpetrated a serious offence. In the rest of the European Union, there are about 5 children in total who are imprisoned on child life sentences. So it's a ridiculous situation in the United Kingdom.
we are calling for quite a radical idea in terms of abolishing prisons. To get rid of the harm caused to these children, you have to abolish the prison system entirely. But we have to start somewhere. So we engage with government on all these issues, and that means speaking to Labour politicians and shadow ministers and engaging with anybody who is prepared to listen. Under the recent Conservative government, there has been a considerable reduction in the number of children in prison. But although the children's prison population has gone down, the number of children from black, Asian and minority groups has actually gone up. So they account for approximately 46% of children in prison. There are various institutions like secure training centers and young offenders institutions. We don't call them child prisons, but of course that's what they are. And under the Labour government in the 1990s, there was actually an increase in the number of children sent to prison. It's ironic that our current Minister of Justice, David Gawk, has categorically said he doesn't think that prisons work, but he doesn't see an alternative. And so they are now on a prison expansionist movement and have been for a number of years. They are trying to build new mega prisons. The prisons minister at the moment is saying he wants to see less prisons, including abolishing prison sentences for under 6 months, but so far hasn't made any legal or policy changes that would result in that.
Next question, what are the ideas for an alternative to youth prisons? We have to think strategically. First, we try and win a small amount of ground by calling for a reduction in the child prison population. So we would focus on partial or selective abolitionism. So we might want to abolish certain laws around criminalisation of substance uses, or we might have to abolish child life sentences, for example. But in terms of alternatives, different approaches may be quite helpful, such as an educational approach or a spiritual approach. Certainly, trying to build up children's aspirations and to build up a humanistic understanding of children as people with souls and people who want to be the best person they can possibly be, then in this case, an educational approach is really valuable. One of the things is to recognise that a lot of the children who are incarcerated are in for relatively minor property offences. They are in because they have had really difficult lives, and if we are going to deal with it, we have to have a non-punitive approach, and therefore a non-prison approach. We have to look at how we can build those children's lives back up. Because if they have got a deficit in terms of support they have had in life, we would want to give to them and try and build their lives up by giving them positive life experiences.
Even if there are some children who are at some point have to have some kind of state care, there should be basic standards for how that child should be treated. The child-first approach is needed, where the child should be met with terms of support and love and care. There should be basic standards for how we should deal with children, which include care, love and support, and not by creating obstacles that children are failing to meet. The next question by Share International is, so you have a situation where children are already, or who already have a deficit, as you put it, make the wrong decisions or knew about a crime, and then they get put into prisons where they lose hope for a better future, and then they don't have any motivation to keep going. Is that how it goes? And Dr. R answers, you just used a phrase that I would totally endorse, which is the end of hope. And in fact, that's the one thing you find in very short supply in prisons. And prisons are actually places where, which seem to generate the sense of hopelessness, that there is no better way out, that things are not going to change, and that they simply are not going to be, and that they are going to be like this forever. Of course, that is one of the biggest factors generating suicidal ideation for both adults and children.
It is crucial that children feel loved and that they feel that their needs are being met. But also, they should feel that they can love in return, that they can give something back in return. And that means investing in those children, and it means supporting them. Nearly half of children who are incarcerated come from families where the children are eligible for free school meals. So we are talking about impoverished children. So give them something. Find out what their talents are. Find out what they can give. And find out what they can do. Don't just write them off. Are you aware of any country that has tried to abolish its prison systems, either for youth or adults? We have to understand the way in which reformed prisons have actually evolved. Of course, we haven't always had prisons. Prisons were an invention of the early 19th century, and the first prisons in the UK were around 1816, which was a similar time frame in the United States and Canada. It came hand in hand with the rise of industrial capitalism. You have to look at that symbiotic relationship between the prison and levels of inequality. In particular, economic inequality, but also inequalities around perceived racial identity, gender, sexuality, age, and so on.
If you look at places like Norway, Sweden, or Finland, you see that they still have a prison system, but they also have a much more welfare-orientated approach. And crucially, they have a more social democratic form of society and a very different approach to how they deal with economic inequalities. So when you are trying to find countries that have different approaches to prison, you often find that they go hand in hand with different approaches to how they organize their societies. You have to have a different way of dealing with people if you want to explore things beyond the prison system. The people who do wrong are often those at the bottom end of society, those who are seen as the unwanted, the disadvantaged, the outcasts, the people that nobody owns, the people who are on the margins of society, and the people who are failing to meet the goals of advanced capitalism. They are the kind of people who end up in prisons. If we want to have a different approach to prisons, we have to have a different approach to how we deal with people. Very simply, we need to question inequality. If we can have a society which is based on cooperation, only then will we start to find a way out of our prison, penal and dehumanizing system.
And before we read excerpts from an article again about children, we would like to read one from The Master called The Ending of Bondage. And it starts as follows. As the simple snowdrop breaks through the snow and heralds the coming spring, so do the people everywhere make known their demands for justice and peace, and an end to a long winter of thraldom and tyranny. The people's voice is rising, imperious to be heard. It is the harbinger of the new time, the new dispensation struggling to be born. Despite, nay, because of the plans and actions of dangerous men, the people are throwing off their ancient yoke and claiming their right to be heard. A new urgency and a new confidence invests their claim with power. The power of the people's voice breaks through the age-old bondage and points the way to the future. More and more, the people are realizing that the role of government is to dispense the needs of the people, that there is no problem or difficulty in which war is the only solution. The sour voices of power-hungry leaders may, for the moment, seduce the fearful or unwary, but their time is limited, is drawing to a close. A new time is in the making of justice, freedom, and peace. In this coming time, the peoples of all the nations will see fulfilled their dreams and hopes of a better life, of meaning and purpose, of beauty and understanding, of right relationship and love. Each day will bring a new discovery, inner and outer. Each hour an opportunity to serve. Thus will it be, and thus will each man, woman, and child glorify the divine in all of us and show in all its variety the many-sided beauty of God.
When Maitreya emerges, he will seek to canalize the aspiration of countless millions who sense these truths but cannot give them voice. In him will they find a spokesman, eloquent and severe as circumstances require. Through him will they find their needs made known, the needs of all for a just and peaceful world. This process is already underway at marches and demonstrations where the people call for justice, peace and sanity. Maitreya may be found in one or other disguise, guys. Maitreya may be found in one or other guise, playing the part of the people and speaking in their name. His energy of love pervades these gatherings of the just and inspires them to further effort. His strength becomes theirs, and they feel undaunted and sure. In this way, the Lord of Love is turning the tide of hate, is potentizing the ardor of millions, and is finding that the people everywhere are aware of their destiny and are seeking the means to implement their heartfelt desires. And that was from April 2003.
So on to the second article from the May issue of Share International magazine, and it's titled Give Children the Vote, Strengthen Democracy by Graham Peebles. In December 2018, David Runciman, head of politics at Cambridge University, made the radical proposal that children as young as six should be allowed to vote in elections to deal with the age bias in contemporary democracies. Allowing children to vote, he said, would give a jolt of energy to democracy. While the thought of six-year-olds voting sounds extreme and will no doubt be broadly dismissed, there is a strong democratic argument for lowering the eligible age from 18, the standard voting age in most countries, and allowing children to vote. In response to Professor Runciman's suggestion, the Guardian newspaper asked a group of children aged 6 to 12 what political policies would get their vote. Their intelligent, straightforward answers are inspiring and in accord with the views of many of us. Freed from ideology and party politics, these children see the issues clearly and speak in an unencumbered way, direct from the heart.
Thomas Atkinson is 10 and lives in Belfast. And he says, the other day I saw someone sitting on the pavement. He looked about 20. Why is that happening? He needs a job and a home. And there are so many jobs that need doing, like, for example, the environmental problems. There is plastic on the beaches all around Bangor. We need people to clear that up. And Petra Bikarik is 11 and lives in London. She is a Hungarian citizen. And she says, it doesn't make sense to me that Britain is putting up barriers. I feel the opposite should be happening. And we should be taking barriers away. She says that in school they talk a lot about fairness. But in society, there are some people who are so special and other people who don't even have a home. Sometimes I see people living on the street and I think, why are they there? It's important because all are people. These people aren't different. They're people. We are all people. And Tom Ashworth, who is 9 and lives in Ambleside, says climate change is the big issue politicians need to work on. We can't just let this happen and do nothing. It's got to be stopped. We have to stop doing the things that cause climate change. It's really important right now. We need to stop wasting food and everything else we're wasting. And the only six-year-old spoken to, Wilfie Tudorwill from London, said that there should be more houses in London. There are a lot of people in this city and they need places to live. There should be less pollution because it's bad for your lungs. And given the chance to speak to the UK Prime Minister Theresa May, he would say, tell her to get more people to have electric cars because they're better for the world. And also, I'd like there to be more parks.
That's all we have time for today. Thanks again for listening. If you would like more information, you can check out our website, which is share-international.org. Otherwise, feel free to email us at sharenz@yahoo.com. Love and blessings to you all.